AM 570 LA Sports.
I want to hear it, man. I'm desperate to hear it.
This is the Petros and Money Show.
Best case scenario.
Mad Money Smith.
Worst case scenario.
Petros Papadakis.
What am I doing here? I'm humiliated.
Available on the iHeartRadio app.
Now online at am570lasports.com.
This is Petros and Money.
Unbelievable.
Can't do it, Sally.
Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey.
The silver and black are back.
What are they going to do with this guy?
He's a good kicker, but he's an idiot.
Oh, Vanderjagt.
Isn't this great?
All right, Hamilton.
Hey, Mr. Cullen.
You cannot judge the importance of things by the noise they make.
Petros and Money on AM 570 LA Sports, your home of the Dodgers. About 25 more minutes of PMS content before we hand it over to Tim Cates and the crew from Arango Casino. Dodgers on deck. Remember, the Giants have pushed their start times back to 6:45 p.m.
For family enjoyment purposes.
And less poop in the streets.
And needles.
And less poop and needles when they get out the park at 9:45. So a 6:45 p.m. first pitch. We are out of here at about 25 after Morongo Casino Dodgers on deck. We'll take you up to said first pitch.
All right. So listen and download our podcast, too, on the iHeartRadio app, iTunes, or wherever you get podcasts. The PMS Before the Show podcast is available on the iHeartRadio app, iTunes, or wherever you find that kind of stuff. You got to subscribe to it separately and hear exclusive PMS content you won't get anywhere else. Hey, do you have Spirit in the Sky by Norman Greenbaum? Because we are going into the sky once again. And Matt, somebody sent me a Textoso the other day, brought to you by Chevrolet.
Textoso line.
Sold out to Chevy.
And it was a beautiful picture of the skyline of downtown Los Angeles that we all appreciate so much, especially the Okie Dog.
Certainly. Oh, and they love it down there.
And there was a caption.
And it said,
"Look at that fire."
Yeah!
We're not going to be in the one with the spire.
You cheating freak.
We're going to be in the OUE Sky Space for a live pregame party and broadcast. Come on by and hang out with the G's.
The real tallest building in L.A.
Yeah, we don't need some stick that we added as a prosthetic to act like we're that tall.
I ain't showing up at the combine with a piece of wood taped to the back of my head like, hey, check it out, I'm 6'2".
Right. Now, maybe you're standing on a hill, but that's okay.
Okay.
It's on Bunker Hill. What do you want? It's great real estate.
Right?
It's where the library was. Can't build a library tower where there's no library. Library happens to be on Bunker Hill. What you want?
You tore down the building, but you left the books. You left the books.
The books are still there, man. It's actually two separate buildings. But get over there and see us. And are the tickets all gone already? Oh.
They're gone?
The Dodger tickets are gone.
So the first 50 have already signed up.
Yeah, we're working on a special deal with the OUE Skyspace to get people in at a reduced rate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know you got a friend in Jesus.
Ask him. I mean, his busy time is down. You know, he was kind of at peak production period, and now he's got some downtime. So maybe shoot some prayers up there, see what happens.
He's available all the time.
I'm just saying.
He's like our show.
He's pretty busy.
He's always available, and he's never available. It's time for the Final Hour Fun Facts.
It's fun in effect. It's the Hour 3.
Fun Facts! Fun Facts!
James Barry, the creator of Peter Pan, gave the copyright to the Great Ormond Street Hospital. That was, at the time, the leading children's hospital in London, and the proceeds from that copyright supported the institution's work for 70 years after he passed away. What a kind gesture.
It is.
And a great cause.
It reminds me of something horrible that somebody told me once, was that Peter Pan and all those kids are dead. That's why they're in Never Never Land and never going to grow up.
You know, that's one theory.
They're like the White Walkers of the fairy tale world, Matt. They're like the Whites!
Here's the thing with the Night King. Why did he wait so long to kill Bran? It had to be a mind meld. I don't like the idea that people are picking on Bran. He has something to do with it.
Time for the quick hits. I can't live like this.
The PMS quick hits. I'll make it quick, y'all.
Oh, yeah. Did you hear that promo on our air that was like, oh, the Giants suck.
Yeah.
The Giants
suck. Did you miss the game last night when the bully freaking imploded? Did you just miss that part?
Yeah, how about that, Bob?
Jeez, watch the seventh inning, Bob.
Yeah, promo guy, Bob. A little too
about
arrogant.
Bottom seventh. Oh, Sunset Strip will be great. He's gonna. When you put him in the bullpen, you're gonna see everything's gonna change.
Is that Vasse? Was that Vasse?
Yeah,
a little bit.
That's what it was. I was like, wait, what happened? I thought Strip was gonna settle it all down.
Why'd they take Verdugo out?
Anyway, why did they take Verdugo
we're
out?
We're gonna talk about this in a second. The Angels are at home tonight versus Toronto. They're 12-17 overall. So if you feel bad about the Dodgers losing last night,
at least they're not in last
place. Yeah, at least they're not the Angels. Off the field, Tim Meade, longtime VP of communications for the Angels, and our old friend and listener is leaving the Angels after 40 years. He's the president of the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. Congratulations.
One of the great guys in, I guess, behind the scenes is how you would describe him here in Los Angeles sports. Just as awesome as,
you know what, he always gave me the great golf cart. Anytime we went to Mike Socia's tournament, he held one for me.
And a listener, so God bless him.
Way to go, Tim.
In the NBA, the Bucks are going to try to redeem themselves against the Celtics. It was a bad mix for the Sausage Heads. At 5 p.m., Boston with a 1-0 series lead at TD Bank North. Save the Fan S for after the game, Garden.
A wicked awesome start for the Celts. All yous who doubted us. Who's laughing now, huh, Sausage Head?
Oh, no, the game's out in Milwaukee.
Yeah, that's right, Milwaukee. Who doubted us?
Yeah,
who said the Celts weren't for real? It's a 4 seed, huh?
It's not in Save the Fan S for after the game till later. Game 2 of the 3-point leg kick fest. Rockets Warriors 7-30.
He was so in my landing space. How can you not whistle? Look at this replay. His feet are totally in my landing space.
When you start saying who the ref is going to be before the game,
we got problems.
Yeah, we do. Scott Foster is the guy with all the problems.
And I think Scott Foster is, am I correct, Cates? Do you know this? I think he is the most hated of all the big-time officials, as the players are concerned. They do not like Scott Foster, which is probably why they brought him in. They're like, hey, dude, come in because you don't care. Start teeing him up.
He's despised on a couple fronts because, you know, the PETA people hate him. Foster Farms.
And the ice cream people hate him. Foster Freeze. That's
oh,
not
they
real
don't
ice
like
cream.
That. Yeah, that's not real. Soft serve.
That's dessert. That's frozen dessert.
And Australia hates him. Foster's beer is it's pee. It's gross. Off the court, Popovich. I want to talk to Popovich. He's signing a 3-year extension with the Spurs.
Congrats, coach.
24th season with the Spurs as head coach. Why not, right?
They are the winningest team, I believe, since the year 2000, and it's not even close.
Not the Lakers?
Not even close.
Not the Lakers?
The Lakers, I saw like they had some crazy graphic that had, starting in 2000, and the Lakers were at the top, then they go to second, then they go to third, and by the time it's to 2019, they're at like 11th. I'm like, my God, that's how bad it's been?
A great piece in the Times today, according to Tim Cates, from Ben Bolch, who I think was angry about the Rick Barnes thing being left out to dry, and then got UCLA right in the D, got his source.
Oh, he kicked him in the balls hard.
He got after his source and embarrassed them.
I'm glad that you included this story in Quick Hits, because I was making my way up. I had some NFL Network stuff to do today, a fantasy show, and right on the 405 by LAX is the third time. I've now seen one on the 5. I know there's one other one, maybe the 110. Have you seen it, P? But there's one right on the 405 at LAX that has the UCLA logo, it's got the Under Armour logo, and it's got Mick Cronin clapping his hands.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it says, welcome, Coach Cronin.
Love it.
And it's like,
let's go.
It's April.
It's effing go.
And it's not Calipari, and it's not Rick Pitino, and I've got to believe 99% of the people driving are like, who's that guy?
Come on, Mick.
And what's he coaching?
It's effing go.
And who is it? UCLA?
I bet more people said they misspelled it. It's supposed to be Nick Cronin, idiots.
It makes no like of all the things to put up and blanket LA with advertising. Welcome, Coach Mick Cronin.
I agree, Matt, that the proof for Mick Cronin will have to come in wins and losses,
indeed,
and not summertime hype. They did want Jay Wright. They could have put a big billboard up of him.
Well, how badly did they want him?
They were willing to double his salary and move him away from Philadelphia, which is a horrible place.
And he said
No.
Said no to that. We're gonna double your salary and we're gonna drop you into Bel Air.
He barely even listened. The only top tier coach that showed any interest was Calipari.
Okay. Well, that's good. What happened there?
Well, he leveraged UCLA and pole vaulted to get more money out of Kentucky.
Just a leverage play, huh?
And then UCLA got pissed off at that point, all their donors, and wouldn't pay Jamie Dixon, according to Bolch's article. They didn't want to pay the buyout for Dixon at TCU because that wasn't a name they were promised. And then nobody paid anything for Mick Cronin, except for these beautiful billboards.
You know what? You guys get Mick Cronin. We'll go ahead and give you a budget for billboards.
When I see him, I'm like, let's effing go!
He's got that suit. He's got the hands. He's about to clap. Like, here we go.
I'm like, come on, Cronin, come on!
Here we go, guys. Here we go.
All right, we got to move. We still got Dead and Alive and Dodgers. So let's do the dead guy birthday of the day. Matt, it's Eve Arden. Eve Arden. How would I know that name? Why would it jump out to me? Because I listen to radio drama on the way to work and the way home. Great TV, film, and radio actress. I know her from the wacky school teacher comedy of record on Radio Classics, Our Miss Brooks, which is also a TV show. And she's like a spinster kind of teacher with a deadpan style. You got all the kids running around school.
A radio comedy?
Yeah, of course. Would you like to hear? I found a promo for one TV show.
Okay.
So here is for Our Miss Brooks. I guess more dudes are into her on the TV show because in the radio, she's chasing a lot of dudes around that aren't into her.
Comedy class of the year and the teacher, Our Miss Brooks. She's an attractive lady.
Sure, she is.
It's Eve Arden. As that irrepressible gadabout who's mad about men.
Whoa.
Our Miss Brooks. But this time, instead of pursuing her favorite subject, she's caught in the middle of a muddle, trying to decide between a husky biology teacher who has that urge to merge, whoa, and a very magnetic newspaper magnate who also has an engagement ring in his voice.
Whoa. The last guest I had up here neglected to inform me that she had an extremely jealous boyfriend. First thing I knew, he was charging down on me like a wounded bull elephant.
Ahoy there!
Who is he?
You heard him. It's him.
Who's him?
The wounded bull elephant.
Yeah, Eve Arden.
What are you going to do here, ma'am?
I want to
keep this going.
Hey, that's swell.
I'm compelled.
Well, if there's one thing this school ain't never had enough of,
oh, that's stretched snodgrass.
You know, sometimes when I'm alone, I project my thoughts to that happy day when I'll settle down with a mate.
When?
It's high time you started thinking about it yourself.
I'm way ahead of you.
It is my great honor and privilege.
She's got a strong jaw.
She's like a B. Arthur type.
Yes.
I learned the angular and matronly Eve Arden was very accomplished as a younger actress as well. Her real name, Eunice Mary Quidden.
Okay, I can see why she changed it.
Mill Valley, California. Tamiplas High School, home of the Hawks. San Francisco Bay Area. 6 decades in the theater, movies. Stage Door, 1937. Night at the Circus with the Marx Brothers. Mildred Pierce, Best Supporting Actress nominee for an Oscar. Jimmy Stewart's secretary in Anatomy of a Murder. And the principal in Grease. Do you have that? You're the one that I want. Forget it. F you, Kate. That's fine. Principal
that's
in Grease.
That's who it was.
And Grease 2.
That's Eve who Arden. It was. Yes. I knew that face looked familiar.
Deadpan style.
How about that?
Mm-hmm. Matt's got the Alive
guy. I got chills. They're multiplying. All right, you're a Alive guy.
Should we get the guy that wrote Grease on if you want?
I believe he's been on.
He's our friend, Jim Jacobs.
Indeed.
Yeah, he's a wild man.
One of my favorites, Wayne Kramer. not the man that wrote Grease. The Alive guy birthday today.
Oh, Wayne Kramer.
Kramer, yes. We love the tasty licks, the colorful chords. Kramer has showered us with some great ones, and like many of the greats, he has some demons. Had demons. I believe he is clear of them now, but really unbelievable.
It's all behind me now.
That he is still alive. So let's go back to Detroit, late 60s, early 70s. One of the co-founders of MC5, the Motor City 5, and a freaking force to be reckoned with. My older brother didn't give me a lot of great music, but he did give me...
He gave you Dungeons & Dragons, Matt.
And he gave me MC5.
And that's why you enjoy that good Game of Thrones talk.
I do. I like a good cleric-thief combo. But I'd say anti-government,
far
left-wing, but pretty much anti-everything. We all know Kick Out the Jams.
MC5,
yeah, things got so hot for them. The feds were sniffing around their shows. There was an FBI file opened on the band and its members, specifically Wayne Kramer. This is over and over.
This is what's going to happen to us when we, with all the F-bombs on the Before
right.
the Show
FBI
podcast.
Coming after us.
They're going to start sniffing around us with all these F-bombs we've been dropping.
This is one of the all-time great signature protest songs. 1970, Vietnam, Nation at War with its youth. I can't recommend their three albums enough. 1 year after another, Kick Out the Jam, 69. Back in the USA 70, and this is off their final one, High Time in 71. Kramer, Tyner, Fred Sonic Smith, Thompson Davis, they made up MC5, the Motor City 5, and you can make a hell of a case that they were the pioneers of the punk movement, way ahead of anybody else in the States. Yeah, they only lasted 3 years, but my God, what a 36-month run. They played almost every night in Detroit, and it just grew and grew to the point where they were playing 1,000-seaters all the time. Live shows sold out, described part street riot, part orgy. And they were offered up opening slots for UK bands that were playing the Eastern Seaboard. At one show when they opened for Cream, they kept getting encores. They were the opening band. By the time they came on for their third encore, Cream were like, screw you guys, we're out of here. And they just left. They didn't even play as headliners because people just wanted MC5 to stay out there. They performed. Their signature event was the 68 Democratic National Convention in Chicago. You know all about the protests, the riots. So many groups committed to play, but were freaked out when they got there that MC5 played for 8 hours straight. The only band that played. They just jammed out for 8 freaking straight hours. Kramer was doing a lot of blow.
Yeah.
He was selling some blow, and he unfortunately sold it to an undercover Fed.
Oh.
And he went to the Pokey in Lexington there for 2 years.
Hooked up with the new law said that punk singers could do federal time.
Turned out 2 full years in Lexington. Actually, almost 3 years. He met Charlie Parker's trumpeter, Red Rodney, in there, and the two of them used to play the chapel service every Sunday. Cleaned it up, got out, and got a solo deal from Brett Gurewitz in 94 on Epitaph. Love the adult world record of that bunch. He still hops on stage from time to time. Coheed, Rage, Benefit shows. He scores TV shows now, as a matter of fact. Happy 71st there, Wayne Kramer.
All right, Dodgers, Giants, let's do it. It's time for the PMS pregame brought to you by City of Hope, a world-renowned research and treatment center for cancer, diabetes, other life-threatening diseases. They combine science and soul at City of Hope to create miracles. You know they do. The Dodgers are doing fine, but they lost last night.
Oh, God.
Probably because our promo guy tried to chalk up the victory before it was chalked up. Tim Cates would never do that. He didn't like to jinx it. Not the wall. First place in the NL West is still theirs. A 2-game lead over the Pods and D-backs. Giants beat the Dodgers, though, last night. Old Long Beach, Longoria. Bases clearing double off old Floral in the 7th.
They gave it away, man. Gave it away. Strip loaded him up. Floral got it out on Posey, but Longoria would cash it in. You mentioned the bases clearing. No more offense for the Dodgers, and they wasted a great outing by Kenta Maeda.
Yeah, and another great RBI single by Cody, his 37th RBI of the season, setting an MLB record before May 1st.
Hey, the levels.
Walker Buehler with 2-0 tonight, 5.25 ERA. I think he was good in his last start. Yeah, he was. 24-year-old right-hander making his 6th start.
He is 1-0 with a 3.86 ERA in his 3 appearances against the Giants. One of those would be a start he's taken on Drew Pomerantz. He is 1-2 with a 3.65 ERA, 30-year-old out of Ole Miss in his 9th season. Former first-round pick of the Indians.
Used to slay chicks at the Grove.
Yeah. Indians, Rockies, what? A's, Padres, Red Sox, and now the Giants. Coming off his best outing of the year. 4-0 shutout of the Toronto Blue Jays on Wednesday.
Matt, here's how not to act when you're going into San Francisco in first place.
If you spend any amount of time here,
the home of the Dodgers.
Yeah, we get it.
You're aware that the Blue are in first place.
What else should we be aware of?
Meanwhile, below us.
Here's where you start.
Nope, lower.
Oh, good Lord, folks.
Keep going.
How low can you go?
At the very bottom.
They get the message.
The San Francisco Giants are
terrible.
Struggling. Today, the Blue are in San Francisco to take on their hated rival. Morongo Casino Dodgers on deck kicks off at 5:30.
We're like a couple minutes from that.
I'm going to send him a cease and desist order.
I mean, that is some...
I can't have my voice associated with that nonsense.
That's a walking jinx, and you're all over that thing.
You don't think Farhan has these guys fired up and ready to play? Listen, guys, the offense is going to be non-existent for 6 innings. But come the 7th, oh, are you going to put a number on these guys?
Wait till Floral and Strips. coming up next, you got Morongo Casino Dodgers on deck with the venerable Rick Monday.
You know what I love about this place up here is it's an old-timey ballpark with all the newfangled contraptions to make it comfortable. But I like seeing an outfielder trip over a bullpen mound from time to time.
Okay. Charlie Steiner made the trip.
How about that? That's on you.
Oh, whatever.
I can't do that one.
Do I just cough? Alana Rizzo, David Vasse.
Hello.
And Party Bus Kate.
That's right. Can you get me just a little bit better of a deal? Give me a little bit of a better number, and we got ourselves a deal. What do you say?